It's good to see each and every one of you here. And before I introduce our speaker, take the time to thank all the veterans for the past Veterans Day for their service. And I hope you all enjoyed your day that was given to the veterans. And for those who remember, happy Armistice Day as well, which was the end of World War I. Two great wars. So I get to wear my tie of Pearl Harbor twice a year, 4th of July, and on Veterans Day. So thank you all, you vets, for your service. I have found that we have people of service everywhere. We have those that serve this nation and serve each and every one of us that give us the right to disagree with one another and to show our disagreement peacefully, hopefully. But we have that right because of service of others. Those of us that are in the service of God do the same labor. We serve others so that they can have the right to choose and to obey the word of God. I know my brother is prepared. I wish I had the trust in electronics that he has. I don't. I have to be on paper and ink. But I know he's prepared. I saw him scrolling down through his pad there. So I will give you our speaker of the hour, Brother Gary.
Thank you, Jim. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see each and every one of you. Those that are live streaming, welcome. And I, too, would like to take this opportunity to thank all of our military that has served. And I really appreciate that. My grandfather served in World War II. He was on the 42nd Rainbow Division. And, you know, it always touches my heart when we see and we know that there has been many that have been willing to sacrifice their lives for the freedoms in which we have, for our country, for our nation, for our loved ones, and for our children, and for the future. So again, thank you to everybody that has served. I do truly appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. And, you know, with that, I got an extra day off from work also, so that was an added plus. Because usually it's pretty run and gun throughout the week, and I find this day to be a day of rest for myself, but I also feel that I am extra well rested. I actually got to sleep in for a few days, and I am thankful for that. So I feel very refreshed and well rested, and I am thankful to be here. As my brother Jim had mentioned that he noticed that I was prepared for the service, I was laughing because within myself because the other week when I was introducing our brother Joel, I introduced him as if he was prepared. And he said, you know, not on the contrary to those exact words, but, you know, I always feel there's a little part of me that isn't fully prepared to be able to give the message that the Lord has placed upon my heart. Now, I recollected what my Uncle Joel has said, and I stand to witness and admit that to be fully prepared is probably never the case. So I try, and the Lord, that's what he calls us to do, is to try and to put our heart in it and to put our trust in him and to deliver the message. And I'm thankful that he did give me a message to speak, and I'm thankful to be here this day among my brothers and sisters and to maybe share a little bit of what the Lord has given me and to convey a message to each and every one of you that you could take away from here. And as our brother was saying again earlier before, while he was introducing me, how that I rely upon my technology. And I was actually thinking on my way here that, man, what if this thing failed on me? What would I do? You know, I'd have to really, you know, pull one out of the back of my mind and just stand up here and preach the Word of God. And I was thinking about that, and you know, I think about the men in history and the things that they did and how they just trusted on the Lord and let their hearts speak what the Lord has placed on them. And I kind of take that and into consideration. And I don't want to say I'm up for the challenge, and I hope that my devices fail, but, you know, if so be the case, I would pray and I would hope that I would be able to stand and testify of the Lord, the love that He has for us, those things in which He has done for us, and to be able to convey a message to each and every one of you as He would place on me on the spot. But nevertheless, my device did not fail. So I'm happy for that, and I'm thankful. But I wanted to kind of express a few things that has been in all of our lives as of recently. As we all know, and I'm not going to get into any kind of politics or anything like that, but you know, that's something that did transpire. I'm not going to speak to any of the candidates. What I observed was a lot of pressure on some of the decision makings that had to be made, and it was very difficult for me with a lot of the people that were on the ballot. And you know, it's difficult, definitely in this day in which we live, the uncertainty of what's going to happen with this country and with this nation, the decisions that our leaders make, and how difficult it could be for us as Christians. And you know, it's something that really has a effect on the world. We've seen all kinds of things unfolding. People, what they're predicting is going to happen. Things that are out there that cause us to maybe be a little bit confused of what the future holds for us. And you know, we've seen that, for example, you know, when the elections before they were finalized, we've seen, I put a few notes down on here, you know, the futures in the stock. They were predicted to open up 800 points down. It was supposed to be one of the largest swings in the stock market that we've seen in a long time. And you know, these are some of the things that other nations and other countries and politicians put out there to stir up our hearts and our emotions. And I always look at these things and I see what is the positive that we can pull out of it. What are the things that we can do as Christians and understand from the Lord to help those that are around us in these difficult times? You know, when the elections unfolded, we looked and we saw that the country, the popular vote was pretty much split right down the middle. You know, this nation is divided. This is what we've heard on the media. This is what we see in the newspapers. This is what we see in the streets, you know. It's something that people are protesting what's going on, and I'm sure it would have happened either way. There would have been protesters in the street. There would have been people that were upset about the outcome of the elections, and it would have been difficult for the other side that was on the losing end. You know, so we have that divided country. We have a time, we have changes in our lives to where it's something that's going to be directly affecting us and our kids and our family, but we have a responsibility, and the Lord gives us a responsibility that no matter what happens, that we listen and that we hearken unto His word and we follow after Him and His gospel. And that's the message I wanted to convey today, is that no matter what, that we listen to Him, that we understand that what He has for us in our lives, His will in our lives, and that we follow after that. All these things are going to unfold before our eyes. We're going to see changes in powers. We're going to see changes in our culture and our society. These things are all going to occur. And where are we going to be at? Where are we going to stand as this happens? Are we going to have the strength? Are we going to have the courage? Are we going to have the fortitude to be able to stand up as Christians and to be able to stand and know that we have that foundation, that word of God within us, that light of Christ, and to be able to stand up for what is right? And, you know, even in these unpredictable times, one of the things that I've noticed so much that has been a changing point and has been probably difficult for a lot of people to conceive is that the Cubs won the World Series. You know? That has been 108 years in the waiting. And it struck me as, you know, something that, wow, you know, this is something that has changed the lives of many. And as I was watching the game, and I was watching the people that were attending this baseball game, you know, I'm going to admit, I'm a Cubs fan. That's why I put it on here. It's just because, you know, I grew up, and when I was 6 years old, I saw Harry Carey singing Take Me Out to the Ballpark, and I've been a fan ever since. But really what struck me is how much something of that nature, a baseball game, can have an effect on so many lives. 5 million people gathered in the streets to celebrate a baseball team. 5 million people. You know, we have our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that gave his life for everyone. And are we going to see that turnout when he comes again? Is there going to be all of our hearts going to be there in the right place? Our minds in the right place? Our souls prepared to be able to understand those things that the Lord calls us to do? And that's my message is, are we hearkening unto the Word of God? Are we letting him lead us in our lives? Are we allowing him to give us that direction? And nevertheless, you know, governments have an effect and an impression on societies and cultures, sports, pop culture, musicians, all these things have an effect on us and who we are, and how we are, how we dress, how we act, what we say, how we say it. All those things incorporate into the development of our lives. And we have to be very cautious. And we have to have an understanding that, you know, is this what God has intended for me? Is this what God deems righteous in my life? And, you know, as we see those things, it's very difficult to even be able to listen to what's on TV a lot of times. We have to change a channel on a daily basis. Well, not as of lately. No offense to my kids, but they're grounded from the TV, which is probably a very good thing. But we have to be very careful from 30-second segment to 30-minute segments. We have to be very careful of what is being broadcasted and what the impression is that is deemed as part of our society acceptable. And a lot of those things that we have that's coming into us is unacceptable as Christians. And I want us to take caution in that because, you know, in this day and age, not everyone. My wife yells at me all the time when I say everyone. But people are out for themselves. Personal gain, the pride in their hearts, those types of things that will lift ourselves up and put others down. What we really need to do is be looking at the opposite side of the spectrum and seeing what we could do to lift each other up and to edify one another and to strengthen one another. And I'm going to start off with 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 through 10. And this is kind of the path that I'm going to go down. And I think that my overall goal in the big picture is to make sure that in our lives we're focused after those things that are pure and that are good for us and to surround ourselves with those things and not to be tempted and not to fall into the temptation of the world, but to really let the Lord lead us in our lives and to be strengthened by that. So in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, I'm going to start there. It says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner," that's Paul, "but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But it is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." And this is the gospel that we preach. And my objective is to preach the truth of the gospel, to try to live to the truth of the gospel, to incorporate this message that God the Father has given us through his disciples, through his servants, through the living word. That's what we should be training ourselves to be able to receive. And we get bombarded by so many things that are in this world that try to pull us away and lead us astray from the message that is given. And it's because it's tempting. There's those temptations, those things that make us struggle, the nature of man that causes us to be led away and to not follow after God, but to follow after our own personal lust and desires, and to see what we can do to help ourselves get better gain in this world in which we live. What makes us feel good at the moment? It's that feel-good moment. You know, just as a baseball team wins the World Series, we're ecstatic. We're jumping for joy. We're celebrating. You know, but are we celebrating those things in life that the Lord has provided for us? Are we excited about those things? Do we have that zeal? Are we sharing those things? Are we testifying to the Lord? Are we lifting each other up by saying, hey, you know what? We're on the same team. We can do it together. We can do it together as a body of Christ, and we can overcome anything, you know, with God on our side. And in these difficult days, we're going to have to rely upon that. We're going to have to draw our strength from that. And I'm also going to read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 5. And these are all familiar scriptures. It says, this know also, that in the last day perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. And I wrote a note here that I see more and more in these days the inability that our society has demonstrated the characteristics of a true Christian. You know, there's a lot that we see out there and promoted of what Christianity is, but how much we see that is actually falling away from the God's commandments and God's word. You know, it's always that what's in it for me attitude that is the common theme. We see all these shows and these preachers preaching on TV, and we hear them on the radio. And, you know, is it for the greater good of the cause of the gospel? You know, I question that. I question what I hear and what I see out there a lot of times because, you know, it entails what is they're involved with, what's around them. As I expressed in one of the prayer services earlier, a couple weeks back, you know, I had a close coworker that has been going through difficult times. And for all those that are live streaming, I know a lot of people here I've shared that with. But he lost his daughter, you know. Lainey was her name. She was 3 years old. And it was a very difficult time for him. And I attended the funeral service. And I was amazed. I've never been to one of the local churches here. I won't mention any names of what it was, but it was enormous. It was huge. I pulled into the parking lot, and I was afraid that if I was to park in the wrong spot, I would actually be late for the service because that's how big the parking lot was. And going through the facility, it was very difficult to find out where I had to go because they had such a large number of buildings and so much going on there. And, you know, my point with that is, you know, what is the Lord in our lives causing us to see in how we're reacting? What are those things that He lets us observe? You know, I observed this whole facility that was there, and I was just overwhelmed. You know, and in my heart, I was saying, you know, is this what Christ would really desire His people, where they would be, what they would do, and involved with these activities? And, you know, they have all kinds of activities that were going on. They have live music, and they had coffee house, and they had a restaurant. I think it was a restaurant. I was just overwhelmed by it. But I thought about it, and I was taken back because, you know, when I come here, I see the reverence that is in the room. I see how humble we are. I see that we're here to receive a message. And you know, I didn't have that spirit give me that when I was at this place. It was more of like, this is a place of entertainment. This is a place where people come to feel good. This is what they come to hear what they want to hear, to be able to be a part of a crowd, a group that is not about what the truth of the gospel is. And it was very difficult for me, and it just had an impression on me that was to the point to where I appreciate and I am thankful and I feel blessed that much more for being a part of the true gospel of Christ. And yeah, we don't have a big old loud band and fancy lights and giant TV screens, but we have God among us and with us and His Spirit working with us. And that's what's important to me in my life. I don't need the big fancy show. I don't need that because I know that's not what God is all about. And I know that Christ died for us so we can deal with our struggles and our temptations through Him. And we don't need this grandiose facility to be able to help us do that. We need one thing, and that's two things: God and His Son, Jesus Christ, and we'll be able to overcome. So I put another note here. We can make a difference. A dedicated servitude towards God is more valuable than anything that the world can give. Yeah, the world can give us those things that are going to make us joyful and make us happy for a moment's notice. You know, we can do what we want. We got the money to do it. Yeah, let's go have a good time. But really, my desire is that you guys hearken to the Word of God and you hear that what He has for you is much more valuable than that, and that you get so much more out of that. And I have another note here. Do what is right. Follow after that, as Paul says, turn away from such. Turn away from those that want to pull you in, that put that temptation out there, that we have all kinds of opportunities to stand up for that which is right. And one of the things that I've been really having a hard time with is, you know, how are my kids going to be affected by this? I have to give it a lot more deeper thought on what is right, because now I'm not only thinking for myself, but I'm thinking for others that are coming to the age to where they're going to have to make decisions for themselves. They're going to have to be able to get into this society and understand that there is all kinds of opportunities to fail. And, you know, one of the things I try to do is to teach them in a way to not follow after those people that are around you that think that they're higher and above everybody else, that have a lot of pride. But surround yourself with people that are kind and considerate and are good and listen to you and hear you and understand and want to be your friend. You know, it's a two-part system when it comes to having a friend, you know. And we can't just expect everybody to be our friends, but we have to put that effort forth to be somebody's friend. We have to be involved in those things. And as kids growing up, I hope my kids develop and understand that. To have respect for our elders, to have respect for those that have served in the military, to do those things, our law enforcement, our firefighters, all those things that I see around us that are difficult with the today's society that is just disregarded. It's just expected. You know, are these type of things allowed within our household? I hope not. I hope that we're teaching our kids that we have to have that respect towards our elders and to those that serve, to our grandparents and our grandmothers and fathers and our friends that are among us. You know, we have to train that. We have to give them that train of thought. And, you know, it's just the opposite of what we see in society. You know, it's all about ourselves. And one of the things that I seen in how many of us during the election were pretty much happy that it was over because they didn't have to listen to any more of the commercials that were on TV, right? That's pretty much all of us in the room. That was like, you know, the talk of the town is, thank goodness that this is over so I don't have to watch any more of these TV commercials, you know? And we're being bombarded by that because, you know, there's a message that is being put out there to try to influence us. There's a message that the special interest groups want us to believe And so we can go out there and express that, you know, well, maybe this is right. We are maybe influenced, but, you know, it's part of our society that we live in. And I remember that there was a time where I saw this. I was on one of the documentaries. I like to watch a lot of those. But it was McDonald's, and they did a study. And it was on, you know, their label. You know, they put their label on. They had a bunch of kids in a room. They had their label on the exact same products. You know, say for example, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich that was in a McDonald's package, and the same exact peanut butter and jelly sandwich that was wrapped in Saran Wrap or whatever, or aluminum foil. And all the kids, they were the same exact sandwich. And all the kids in the room picked the one that had the McDonald's wrapper on it, because McDonald's had put out the advertisement that their food is better than everybody else's. It tastes the best, and it's what you should be eating. Well, I don't know about that, but I tend to disagree. I'm sure a lot of people have kind of changed their mind once they started putting up on the board what the food contains and, you know, with these documentaries out there. But nevertheless, it's these special interest groups that have that influence in our minds that give us that idea, oh, okay, maybe this is right. Maybe this is what we should be doing. You know, we see that in politics. We see that on TV with our food, with what we should wear, how we should wear it, what we should say. And, you know, this has an everlasting effect on us. You know, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to say three numbers. And I want somebody in the audience, anybody could call it out loud. And you just finished the last four numbers. It's 588-2300. You know, thanks, John. You get a star for today. But it is. This is something that 588-2300 Empire, this is something that I grew up with. It has been in my life and ingrained into me that I will never forget that number. As a matter of fact, it probably did have an influence on us deep down inside, because we just got our carpet replaced, what, 6 months ago? And it was by Empire, if I'm correct. But nevertheless, you know, this is the influence that media can have on us. And I just want us to be careful with that and to have an understanding that we need to let the Lord have that type of influence on us in our lives. We have to let Him speak to us, to talk to us, to whisper to us, to be our shepherd, to hear His voice, to know those things that He calls us to do. Okay, so I'm going to read in 2 Timothy again. We're going to jump to chapter 4. I'm going to read two verses. I'm going to give you three more seconds. And that's one thing about technology, is I have it right in front of me, so I'm not a cheater. But it is a useful tool. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned to fables. And these itching ears, I've always been interested in the itching ears. I have a understanding of what it is, but I just wanted to share what a commentator had noted here as a definition, and kind of wanted just to share that with you. Itching ears is a figure of speech that refers to people's desires, felt needs, or wants. It is these desires that impel a person to believe whatever he wants to believe rather than the actual truth itself. When people have itching ears, they decide for themselves what is right and wrong, and they seek out others to support their notions. Itching ears are concerned with what feels good or comfortable, not with the truth. After all, truth is often uncomfortable. Okay? So it says, I wanted to give a prime example of this. In Jacob chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 11 through 21. I'm sorry I didn't put the page on that one, but I got them on the rest. So Jacob chapter 2, verses 11 through 21. And as you look that up, I made a note here that, you know, Jacob had this difficult task. He was speaking to the Nephites concerning their pride, and they were finding these treasures, and the people were lifted up in their pride, and he wanted to convey to them that this is a sin against God. And, you know, he didn't want to console them as he says in he states in verse 9, that he was going to admonish them and enlarge the wounds of those that were already wounded instead of consoling and healing their wounds. So he wanted to get his message across. And that's where a lot of times we hear the phrase, sometimes the truth hurts. You know, it's true. But are we doing that because it's to the better good of our brothers and sisters when we admonish them? You know, or, hey, that's okay. You know, everything will be okay. You know, we really got to look and consider, you know, what is the lesson being taught? You know, is it to make somebody feel good? Or is it to lead them down the right path? So I'm going to read that in verses 11 through 21. It says, but notwithstanding the greatness of the task. So he was having a hard time with this. This was pretty impressed upon him. And he knew it was going to be difficult because he's really going to upset and frustrate a lot of people. But he says, I must do according to the strict commands of God and tell you concerning your wickedness and abominations in the presence of the pure in heart and the broken heart and under the glance of the piercing eye of Almighty God. You know, are we always aware that the Lord is watching over us? If we're doing the right thing, if we're saying the right thing. It says in verse 12, wherefore, I must tell you the truth according to the plainness of the word of God. You know, there's no gray area here. This is going to be black and white. I'm going to tell you like it is. You know, I'm going to be frank with you. This is what the Lord has given me to tell you. For behold, as I inquired of the Lord, thus came the word unto me, saying, Jacob, get thou up into the temple on the morrow, and declare the word which I shall give thee unto this people. And now behold, my brethren, this is the word which I declare unto you, that many of you have begun to search for gold and for silver and all manner of precious ores, in the which this land, which is the land of promise unto you, and to your seed, doth abound most plentifully. And the hand of providence hath smiled upon you most pleasingly, that ye have obtained many riches. And because that some of you have obtained more abundantly than that of your brethren, ye are lifted up in the pride of your hearts, and were stiff necks and high heads because of the costliness of your apparel, and persecute your brethren because that ye suppose that ye are better than they. And now, my brethren, do ye suppose that God justifieth you in this thing? Behold, I say unto you, nay. But he condemneth you, and if ye persist in these things, his judgments must speedily come unto you. Oh, that he would show you that he can pierce you, and with one glance of his eye he can smite you to the dust. Oh, that he would rid you from this iniquity and abomination. And oh, that ye would listen unto the word of his commandments, and let not this pride of your hearts destroy your souls. Think of your brethren like unto yourselves, and be familiar with all, and free with your substance, that they may be rich like you. You know, be humble, and be aware of where we're at in society, and how we live, and have an understanding that, you know, there's nothing better than to give, to have that charity, to give of our tithes, to give of our time, to give with our efforts, and you know, what a blessing that is that the Lord rewards us for that. Watch that pride that is in our lives. Help each other out. Even if, you know, telling the truth sometimes hurts, it can be difficult to do that. But if we do that humbly, and we do that out of the kindness of our hearts and with a soft hearts, you know, we can really be effective. We can really make a difference in somebody's life and maybe help them see something that they're not. I want to give another example. I made a note here that it's a parable by Jesus, and even some of the disciples decided to no longer follow after him, and it was because there was backsliding going on. Many of them went back to their houses and families and didn't follow him anymore. And, you know, we need to be cautious because, you know, even some of the disciples of Christ were having a hard time and they turned away from him. And I'm going to read that. And I'm going to read that in John chapter 6. And this is a few verses here, not too many, though. So John chapter 6. Verses 53 through 69. So it says, So then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye shall eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me even shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore I say and said unto you, that no man could come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And that is so important that we understand that Jesus Christ himself, you know, those are the words to eternal life. What he came, what he did, what he taught, that is the benefit for each and every one of you, including myself in this room, have an opportunity to experience, to put to practice, and to achieve. You know, that should be the goal in our lives, is to seek after that eternal life. And one of these verses, verse 61, stood out to me like a sore thumb. Does this offend you? You know, some of the things that we deal with on a daily basis. We can have a lot going on in our lives. We could have our own struggles dealing with. And the church needs something. The church needs us to be able to take action, to do something. And do we feel offended by that? Oh, man, I was just getting ready to go do this. And, man, my heart was set on that. Man, do I really want to do this? You know, do we struggle within ourselves? Do we put up that fight? Do we put aside the opportunities that the Lord sets in our place? And I want us to be able to, you know, when the Lord calls on us, to take advantage of those opportunities and to put those things aside that maybe our heart desires to do and to think about the benefits of doing those things that God calls us to do. How much more of that is important for our eternal life than our temporal? I'm going to read in the second book of Nephi now, on page 154. I'm going to read a few verses there. While you guys are looking that up, kind of my idea here was, and what the Lord had put on my heart, is that you know, when we come to this point in our lives, it's kind of like the fork in the road. You know, do we listen to what the Lord hears for us? Or do we listen, you know, to what our desires are, what we want to do, our natural person? And I'm going to kind of get into that now. So I'm going to read 23 through 28, chapter 12, second book of Nephi, page 154. It says, For the kingdom of the devil must shake, and they which belong to it must needs be stirred up unto repentance, or the devil will grasp them with his everlasting chains, and they will be stirred up unto anger and perish. For behold, at that day shall he rage in the hearts of the children of men, and stir them up to anger against that which is good. And others will he pacify, and lull them away into carnal security, that they will say, All is well in Zion, yea, Zion prospereth, all is well. And the devil cheateth their souls, and leadeth them away carefully down to hell. And behold, others he flattereth away, and telleth them that there is no hell. And he saith unto them, I am no devil, for there is none. And thus he whispereth in their ears until he grasps them with his awful chains from whence there is no deliverance. You know, and this is a warning for us. This should be a red flag in our lives. This should be something that we take into consideration every single day. You know, if we're given those opportunities to do things and, you know, we just don't want to because this is so much funner, you know, this is something that's going to be affecting us spiritually. You know, and if Satan is whispering to us, you know, are we taking our wisdom and our knowledge that the Lord has given us and using our discernment to know that we should be doing that which is good, that we should know that, you know, within our beliefs that I need to do this because the Lord's Spirit is working with me right now at this time. This is what the Lord is calling me to do. You know, there's a great baseball game I could go watch right now, but this is what needs to be done. This is my opportunity to serve. This is my opportunity to be fruitful for the Lord. With that, I'm going to go to John chapter 8. I'm going to read verses 34 through 51. This is my longest one, just to warn you. And this is the Jews that had a disbelief that Jesus was the risen Savior. And I just want to put this out there so we can share this with one another here at this morning service. It says, starting in verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answer and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he that sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abodeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar, and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered and said, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me, and I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never seeth death." You know, Jesus was speaking the truth, and the people, the Jews, they didn't want to hear it because that's not what their intentions were not involved with Christ himself. They were struggling with that, and, you know, they sought to kill him, and, you know, that's what the Lord is saying to us, that we need to hear his word. You know, we need to take into practice the gospel and have it in our lives so that we can discern that which is from him, and that we can know that if Satan is out there trying to tempt us, trying to whisper to us, saying, "Hey, you need to do this instead. You know, you're going to get a lot further ahead in this one if you take this road." You know, we need to have that capability and have the Spirit working in our lives to be able to do that and to make those decisions. And I'm going to jump down into John chapter 10. I'm going to read a few verses there. Trying to make this flow good for you guys. So I'm going to read John chapter 10, verses 23 through 30. And this is, again, when he was at Solomon's porch and in the temple, and he's speaking plainly to the people. And it says, "And Jesus walked in the temple and Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. What I am doing, those things that I am doing, I am living it. I am showing it to you. And you guys still don't believe me. It's a witness of who I am. It says, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep. And I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And I and my Father are one." You know, and it just goes back to where I started off with the itching ears, you know. All the people that had the opportunity to be able to hear the truth and to follow after Christ, they were after their own lust and their own desires, to the point to where they were even stoning him. They were trying to seek to kill him. They ended up, you know, that was God's plan. And it's so difficult for me sometimes to grasp because, you know, when you're in the presence of the Lord and you feel his Spirit working with us, you know, there's many, many times when I've been in this room and the Spirit of the Lord is upon us and you feel it and you know it. And how willing are you and myself to do anything that the Lord calls us to do at that time? It's important that we understand that and that we allow ourselves to not have our walls up and our defenses up and that we allow the Lord to work upon us. Okay, I'm going to go into the second book of Nephi again. And this is, again, Jacob's speech to the Nephites. Chapter 6, on page 110, I'm going to read verses 75 through 84. It says, verse 75, "O my beloved brethren, give ear to my words. Remember the greatness of the Holy One of Israel. Do not say that I have spoken hard against things against you, for if you do, you will revile against the truth. For I have spoken the words of your Maker." You know, sometimes the truth hurts. It hurts in my life when I have to face the reality of what it is. You know, when things are put on the table, sometimes it's difficult to deal with it. But, you know, always take in consideration that if we approach that in a humble and a loving manner, you know, it's a lot easier for us to be able to be changed and to be made a better person spiritually and for the Lord. It says, "O then, my beloved brethren, come unto the Lord, the Holy One. Remember that his paths are righteousness. Behold, the way of man for man is narrow, but it lieth in a straight course before him. And the keeper of the gate is the Holy One of Israel, and he employeth no servant there. And there is none other way, save it be by the gate, for he cannot be deceived, for the Lord God is his name. And whoso knocketh to him will he open, and the wise and the learned, and they that are rich, which are puffed up because of their learning and their wisdom and their riches, yea, they are they whom he despiseth. And save they shall cast these things away, and consider themselves fools before God, and come down in the depths of humility, he will not open unto them." You know, this is a life lesson right here, that we got to shed those things that make doing the right thing difficult. We have to take into consideration, yeah, of course, we're going to go through life, and we're going to be traveling down that straight and narrow path, but, you know, Satan is there to try to stray us off that path. But if we stay focused and we concentrate, you know, we can overcome and we can learn. And yeah, we might fall and get bumps and bruises. You know, I was just out mountain biking with my son. He's got his head down because he's probably embarrassed and I'm going to be talking about him right now. But, you know, we were going down a trail and, you know, he thought, we've been down it a few times. He was like, I got this. You know, and it was Eric's first time out in the desert mountain biking, so I kind of hung in the back and I'm yelling at Eric. And Logan's out in front because he's tromping forward. He's trudging through this trail going down a mountain. And we've done it 6, 7, 8, 9 times before. And you know what happened? boom. He wanted to go full throttle down the hill, and he ended up getting a buckle fracture in his wrist. But that happens. There's nothing wrong with that. That's nothing that we should be embarrassed about. But it's a learning experience. And, you know, we're all going to fall down and get bumps and bruises and scrapes. But, you know, we have God to lift us back up and to heal us and to forgive us of our sins and to give us the opportunity to get back on that bike path and head straight down the course again. You know, it's a learning experience for us. Logan, will you ever do that again? Nope. But, you know, it's something that as we learn in the trial's life, that we have to grow from it and have an understanding the next time we come up to this place to where it's a temptation, it's something that is against the will of God, that we know what course to take, that we know with all assurity the truth of the gospel does not want us to travel down that path, but that we are to do what the Lord calls us to do, and we're to be that Christian that the gospel deems righteous and right, not what society does. One more scripture. Second book of Nephi. Again, we're going to bump up to... Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to go to chapter 6, 44 through 46. Looks like I got the page number wrong on that one. So, second book of Nephi, chapter 6, verses 44 and 46. It says, "Oh, how great the holiness of our God! For he knoweth all things, and there is not anything save he knows it. And he cometh into the world, that he may save all men, if they hearken unto his voice. For behold, he suffereth the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and children, which belong to the family of Adam." He's there for each and every one of us in our lives. I hope and I pray that, you know, in this society in which we live, as we begin to grow and develop in the gospel and our kids are becoming of age and we're bringing new children into this world, that we really take in consideration, you know, the truth of the gospel and let it be what we stand firm on. Let that be our foundation. Those are my thoughts and my prayers this morning. So may God bless each and every one of you. And I thank you for your time.